find out sometime to learn of you. Thank you for zeal. Thank you for persuasion. Oh, glory to God. We see more clarity as we look into your word this morning again. In Jesus' name, we'll receive clarity. Amen. Have your seat, everybody. Oh, glory. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4 verse 4. Your Bible, your notes, everybody. Ephesians 4, 4. Qualification for the supernatural ministry. It should be part 6. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 4. Please try and understand concepts in church. Concepts. Yeah. Just follow. It's just, church is not just, Sunday service and I'm just there. No. Understand concepts. Amen. Are you ready? You note your pen? You all have something? If you don't have a pen, next time you are coming, you must come with one. And that would mean you can find the app on your phone to jot. What you learn in church must have good reference. So qualification for the supernatural ministry. Now this is part 6. If you have not listened to part 1 to 5, that you should have that on edifyassembly.org. Are you ready, everybody? There is one body, one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. Verse 5. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Verse 7. Unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Verse 8. Wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captives and gave gifts unto men. Verse 9. Now he that ascended, what is it? But that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above heavens, that he may fill all things. 11. Want to go? And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Amen. Amen. Write this in your notes. So based on the resurrection of Jesus, we also have ministry gift. One of your inheritance in Christ, amen, you have to grow you up. If you see the event he was carefully talking about earlier, he talked about how he went to hell, because that verse, essentially, when you are seeing verse 9, say he ascended, okay, verse 8 said he first descended. Oh no, verse 9 said he that ascended is the same, but that also descended first. So descended there means Jesus went down to hell. Verse 10 also said he came out of hell. He rose up far above heaven to sit at the right hand of the Father. So because Jesus died and rose, he now gave some apostles. Most of the time, when we quote 1 Corinthians 15, 1 to 4, he died, he was buried, and he rose again according to the scripture. All we say we have there is we have salvation. But do you know that based on the same events, you also have commission, ministry gift, people who are commissioned to grow you up, people who are commissioned to bring you up to maturity. Are you with me? Are you with me, brethren? Okay, you see verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying. Amen. Say edifying. I need to see your mouth say edifying. So for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So leaders that focus on our spiritual growth are the gift of God to us. They didn't just give them pastors to just be leading them. Is for their edification. Please, I beg you, anywhere you are listening to me around the world, anybody that focuses on your spiritual growth, they are a gift of God to you. Because Jesus did not die just for you to be saved. He died for men to grow up into maturity. He didn't die for you to just say, okay, you are saved, you enter heaven. No, it's more than that, brethren.
He died to have mature believers. And he already put in all it takes. All it takes is ministry gift. People who will make you do what you really are not willing to do. What you really would not have done yourself. People who will teach you, disciple you, mentor you, train you in how to go. People who will help you to cut down your excesses. Any man that has a good pastor that follows him is already justified before God in ministry. Because if you have a good pastor and you follow him, you forget the rest. That judgment of believers, you are already 100%. Like I can say 100%. Because God will only judge you based on your discipler, based on how much he drills you. That is why I keep saying the problem in several circles in Christianity are not the members, are the people instructing them. The people that go for an evangelism and all they know to do in evangelism is to tell people that, please just come to my church, or you go on evangelism, you are carrying big car to evangelism, so can you see my car? If you can come to my church, God will do this for you. Or people that are going on evangelism and you are sharing, you are sharing clothes, and you say that is your evangelism. See, you are doing philanthropic. Is the man in charge? Is the man in charge? God will not judge the saints for doing that. Please don't get me wrong. I'm not saying sharing food or sharing clothes is wrong. But of course, that is parallel line from what? Evangelism. Are you with me? Are you with me? Of course, as a man, let me not say as church now, as a man, you should have enough compassion to somebody who does not have clothes on your street. As a man, as part of my stake to humanity, as you feel enough compassion to do the PR, to do the community service, to do the, what do we call them again? NGOs, right? To do the NGOs, to do charity. As you have enough compassion in Adam to do that. So that is not peculiar to the love of Christ. That is not peculiar I tell you, when you read that, for God so loved the world, please don't be motivated from for God so loved the world to give somebody money. Don't be motivated. Well, I know, but just take it this way. Don't be motivated from John 3:16 to give somebody food. Be motivated from for God so loved the world to preach that love of God to that person. Let John 3:16 be your motivation for preaching, not for sharing food. Don't say, well, God so loved the world, me too, I love the world, so what do? I give them what? I give them transport fare. I give them, no, for God so loved the world. So what I do to the world is I share that love of God, that details, how he gave his son, how he gave him up. That is what I share based on for God so loved the world. Are you with me? Are you with me? Have I said charity is wrong? No. But based on your Christian faith, you are anointed to preach the gospel. Say to preach. Say to preach. Say, I know the dividing line. Thank you. So verse 13 says, see, this is why he gave you people. Say, my pastor is a gift of God to me. Say, my spiritual leaders, they are a gift of God to me. Like, he not abiding, not yielding to them, is the same thing as not walking in your inheritance. Verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So there's a commission in Christ to teach men up. Jesus died not just for men to be saved, but also for men to grow up into the fullness of Christ. Into the fullness of Christ. Jesus is not yet glorified until saved men are conformed to the image of Christ. Yes, we have been made conformable in his death, but now it's time to be conformable, in his essence, in ministry. So I wrote in my notes, I said the essence of redemption is not just saved men, but grown up saints. Write down your note, grown up saints. Grown up saints. And well, someone is saying, well, am I saying that we should not focus on the world? Should we only be focused on growing up? No, don't forget. Christians that have grown up, they will be more obsessed with the ministry. they will get more results in ministry. They will get more people saved. They will get more people taught. They will get more people into the ministry. Write this in your notes. Untaught believers in ministry contribute to the rejection of Christianity. Untaught believers that are in ministry, believers that are wrongly taught, that are using plenty frivolities, plenty vanities to preach the gospel, they contribute more to the rejection of Christianity. When your gospel is one man, one wife, when your own gospel is entrepreneurship, when your own gospel is sowing and reaping, you are contributing to the rejection, to that mass rejection of Christianity. When denominations have different emphasis. See, we can all be bearing different names, but you should not enter a church and they have different emphasis. You must not enter a church and say, we are for holiness. You enter and that church say, we are for power. You enter and that church say, our call is to solve your family problem. No, till we all come in the unity of the faith for edification of the saints, the measure of the fullness of the stature of Christ. Amen. So you can see that is like an eyes to attain, not what you have attained in Christ. Until we all come to maturity. When you have like 200 different steps to salvation in plenty circles. So we have work to do, eh? We have work to do. So one of the steps we must comprehend fully in ministry is the concept of the Spirit of God. Why ministry? How am I to partake in ministry? How do I know how ministry? How come I have ministry? Okay, just write this way. If you don't understand what I said, how come I have ministry? The Spirit of God is your qualification for the ministry. The Spirit of God is your qualification. The Spirit of God is what qualifies you for the supernatural ministry. Yes, the apostles did some wonders in Matthew 10. Rush there. Matthew 10, verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, because the law was in force. But go ye to the lost sheep, rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, seven, as you go preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Eight, what's there? You receive, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely you have received, freely give. Verse 9, provide neither gold, nor silver, nor brass in your purses. Imagine, nor strip for your journey, neither two coats. You can see that their confidence is what Jesus gave them. Their confidence is not money. If you have money, don't carry it there. I'm not saying don't carry your transport fare when you're going on evangelism. I am saying your catcher, why they will receive you. It's not your pocket. It's not your beaker. It's not your nice perfume. It's not the way you say your nice oratory. Please use the things of God to do the power. Use the power of God to do the things of God. Don't use carnality. Don't use PhD. If you have PhDs, I'm sorry. I know I'm archaic. Keep it yourself. Don't write your name about him. Talk to him, say PhD. Who you help? Put power. Uh-huh. Put miracles. Yes. Put healing. Plenty of people are doing it. So I'm not trying to. I'm not indicting anybody particularly. You don't need it. You don't need it. The Spirit of God is your qualification. You've got right Ojuola alone to be over, aka miracles. I will be with you. Aka power, aka healing, that's okay. Don't put BSC. What's that? Hallelujah. What is the qualification of Papa Akindayomi of RCG? What is the qualification? Tell me. Baba Badare, what is the qualification? Woman of Pi, what is the qualification? Maybe they now gave me some honorary stuff. Even Benson Dowser. I didn't know if he finished everything. I'm sorry. I know he can speak good English. Praise God. Say the Spirit of God is my qualification for the supernatural ministry.
So he said in verse 11, into whatsoever city or town you enter, inquire who is his worthy, and they abide till you go thence. And when you come into an house, salute it. It is it. See that Luke 10, verse 17. Luke 10, 17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even these devils are subject unto us through thy name. Amen. Praise God. So what is the difference between this one and the Acts of the Apostles? Here he said the devils are subject to us in thy name. But in the Acts of the Apostles, yes, it's still in his name, but we are now in his name. Praise God. Hallelujah. In the gospel, it is his name. In the epistle, is our name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Say the name of Jesus is my name. Says our name. Says our common identity. Remember Ephesians chapter 3 verse 14. Say, of whom the whole family, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family were in heaven and earth is named. Praise God. Say the name of Jesus legally belongs to me right now. Say, I am a joint heir with God. Say, I have equal rights to God as Jesus had. Okay, so verse 18, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Amen. So when you cast out devils, you dethrone the kingdom of Satan. When you cast out devils, you dethrone the kingdom of Satan. 19, behold, I give unto you what? Power. Say power. Say power. It's a power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by enemies hurt you. Now I'm going to verse 20. Look at your Bible. Verse 20. Everybody, let's read 20 together. Want to go? Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Now, let's start explaining from this verse 20. Firstly, because they are believing Jesus, their names are written as Old Testament saints. That means they are qualified as Old Testament saints. Their names are written as Old Testament saints. But more is about to happen. What is about to happen? You have healed the sick because I am anointed. So when the full manifestation of redemption comes, you will heal the sick because you are self-anointed. I take that again. You have healed the sick. Okay, let me reverse. You have believed in Jesus. Because you have believed in Jesus, because they have believed in Jesus, their names are written in heaven, not as your own is written today. Their names are written then, the same way, remember, that should be in Exodus chapter 33, when Moses was inquiring from, was begging God, I said, please don't blot out their names from the book, from the book. He said, whosoever sin against me, his name will I what? Blot out from the book which I have written. So that is a book. Let me use the word. That is a book. That is like a book. Sorry, don't see it as a literal book. It's just talking about those who have believed in the redemption to come, those who have believed in the Jesus to come, Old Testament says. So that's the list of the people. There are a list of people who are going to Abraham's bosom. Amen. Are you with me? There are a list of people who are going to Abraham's bosom. Amen. So that is what he's talking about here. So your names are written. That means you are already qualified. But more is about to happen. You have healed the sick because I am anointed. Very soon, when the full manifestation of redemption comes, because Jesus did not just come to live. He didn't just come to say yes, yeah, and that is, and no. He came to what? He came to die. His death is the essence of his coming. His death is the essence of the incarnation. His death is the essence of all he did. All the miracles he did, everything he did is so that they can be there on Pentecost. Are you with me, brethren? So, you will heal the sick because you are self-anointed. Write that one down that way. Self-anointed. Self-anointed. Now, I anointed you to heal the sick, but then you will pick up the Spirit and anoint yourself. John 14. Then I anointed you to heal the sick, but then you will pick up the Spirit and you will anoint yourself. John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. Now, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. In your notes, please write mansions. There means, sorry, I know I'm fast, but try and just follow me. Write stuff you need to write. Okay? When you now listen to the message later, you can connect all the dots and titles together. So, in my Father's house, are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. So, when he's saying, in my Father's house, there are many mansions, okay? If he has said, in my Father's city, there are many mansions, then we are sure he's talking about a literal community, about a literal country. Maybe he's talking about the physical, geographical location of heaven. But he's saying, my father said there are many mansions. So for you to have a mansion in a house, then you have to look at it closely. Mansion there means there are many dwelling places. Many dwelling places. Say, I have a space in God. Say, I have a space in God. So he's saying there are plenty places that you can stay in my father's house. Same, that's what he's saying. So the next question to ask is that where is the father's house? So you can know your apartment, if it's one bedroom, two bedroom, a duplex in the father's house. Amen. So verse 3, if I go and prepare a place for you. Can you see that? If I go, I will prepare what? A place for you. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. See, this is one of the gospel. This I'm telling you that when you preach from this place that there is nice mansion. You know, all those sermons that there is street of gold, nice mansions in heaven, it will only appeal to who? To the poor. Some of you are saying, well, I don't know the standard with which God has built his own house. I like the one I built. You understand? It's because I don't know where you are living. The houses that when you enter, say, God, are you sure this is your mansion? Is standard? Can you just remain here? Amen. Well, when I enter some house in Redemption Camp, you see architecture. You say, wow, glory to God. Can we just tabernacle here? Let's make three tents. One for Moses. So it cannot be when you hear street of God. Don't be candid. Don't just be candid. Amen. It's just a description of too much glory. Just too much to be described. Amen. Praise God. So those prophets, of course, they are in what somebody said, they will just have to look for the closest things to relate to you that, wow, it's just so much glory. Amen. Say Christ in us is our glory. So now, he said in verse 3, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come. So once the place is prepared for you, he will now come and receive you unto myself. He will receive you into the place. Are you with me? When I go and prepare a place for you, I will go and receive you into the place. So where is the house? Myself. Can you see that from that verse? Can you see it from there? I will now come and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be what? Also. Praise God. So when he died, when he rose again, he's at the right hand of the Father. He received us into the same position. Sorry if you are laboring because you don't have a house on earth. You are now looking earnestly to have a house in heaven. Well, please, brethren, get a walk and go and get some bricklayers and start molding your blocks. Go and find a land. Amen. In heaven, I'm not sure a house is waiting for you. But you'll be in Christ and you'll be fine. See, I'll be fine. Amen. Come on, don't lose me here. So the ultimate writing is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. The writing is still ongoing in the gospel. It's not done writing yet. Verse 4. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas now said unto him, we know not whether you go. Go ahead. How can we know the way? 6. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, I am the truth, I am also the what? I am the life. That means I am the what? Destination. Thank you. I am the destination. I am the Father's house. I am the light. I am the way to the Father. I am the way to the house. I am the truth. I am the life. I am the destination. Praise God. Say, no one coming to the Father but by me. So you come to the Father in Christ. You remember 2 Corinthians 5:21? God was where? In Christ. Reconciling the world to himself. Amen. So where is the Father's house? In Christ. Amen. So where do we have the mansions? In Christ. Amen. So follow me. So he is alive. He is alive. So where is God's house? You see there. I mean, see verse 7. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From henceforth, you know him and you have seen him. Verse 8. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father and it sufficeth us. Verse 9. Jesus said unto him, have I been so long with you and you have not known? Is it known the city or know what? Known me, Philip. He that has seen me has seen the Father. Oh, why are you saying show us the Father? 10. Believers doubt not that I am where? In the Father, and the Father is in me. The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth where? In me. He dwelleth the works. So Jesus is going to die so that they can be in Christ. Say in Christ. Say in Christ. Pastor Joy will come and teach us some in Christ realities, very stuff we have in Christ. 11, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. So because you are in the Father's house, you will also do greater works. Write that down. You will do greater works. Even the things you have done, but one of the things you have in greater works is that, let me say this way, even in healing the sick, there is greater works in healing the sick. I will explain. Before you heal the sick by my authority, they go up and down and say, well, I come to you in the name of Jesus, the anointed one. Amen. Yeah, I come to you in the name of Jesus, the anointed one. But greater will be, hey, silver and gold, you may not see with me right now, but such that I have. Amen. So right now, I am coming to you because I am anointed. Amen. In the fourth gospel, they healed the sick because Jesus was anointed. But in the epistles, in the Acts of the Apostle, I've told you, Acts of the Apostle means the activities of the Apostle, stuff they did. So in the documentation of the activities of the Apostle, they healed the sick, they cleansed the lepers, the shadow of Peter was able to heal the sick. Why? Because they are self-anointed. Self-anointed. So verse 12 now says, very, very, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, he shall do also, and greater than this shall he do. It's greater because you are now doing it by the measure of your own authority. Because you have it. Like I was explaining to Brad Kevin Nika, I said, maybe before, you tell your friend, I'm coming to pick you in my pastor's car. I'm coming to pick you in my pastor's car. But by the time you get your own SUV, I'll say, oh, I'm coming to pick you in my car. It's different. Amen. It's different. One is greater. Praise God. So verse 13, and whatsoever you shall ask the Father, ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Say, God is glorified when we walk in authority. So now, he didn't say, you ask me. Say, you ask in my name. You just ask because you are in me. You ask because you are in me. You ask because you are in the Father's house. Things you demand because you are in the Father's house. 14, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now say in 15, if you love me, keep my commandment. What is his commandment? He is there. Verse 16. And I will what? Pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you for how long? Forever. Forever. What will be the commandment? Receive the Spirit. He told them later in Luke 24. He told them in Matthew 28? No, it's not Matthew. He told them basically in Luke 24, in John 16, in John 20, that they should receive the Spirit. So when Jesus is saying, keep my commandments, he's not saying, keep the laws of Moses. No, he has his own commandment. His commandment is like, keep my saying. Keep this thing I'm saying. Keep it. Keep it. Like, Jesus has things for you to keep different from Moses. E.g., on that Passover table, remember what he told them, right? Keep this you do in what? Remembrance of me. What does he want you to do in remembrance of him? What is primary? Fellowship, right? Keep the unity of the body. He's not saying keep eating bread and wine in remembrance of me. He's saying keep this unity of the body. Amen? Keep this unity of the body. Keep fellowshipping together. Keep honoring one another. Don't do class. That is why he told the Corinthians church in 1 Corinthians 11. He said, when you come together to eat, say, don't you have, why are you forming camps in church? Are you destroying the saints of God? Amen. So Jesus have his own commandments. Don't see keep commandments in here, and you want to keep everything from Genesis to you will die. Amen. The people who try to keep you, who are trying to be so religious about the Sabbath, he act all of them. Who are so trying to be religious about Moses, about Matthew 19, everything, he act all of them. Say Jesus has his own commandments. Say we can find it out. Give me another one. Yes, Matthew 5 is another one. Love your enemies. That's Jesus. Don't revenge. Say Moses have told you eye for eye, right? Tooth for tooth. I don't like that one. Why should you remove somebody's tooth? Because he mistakenly broke your own. No, say tooth for tooth. Which one again? I see things there, Brad Joshua. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth, and ear for fire for fire. You say, boy, he said, I say unto you, love your enemies. That's Jesus' word.
keep those ones. Amen. Say Jesus can take care of his own without the help of Moses. I have to tell you that clearly. Okay. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not. I'm in John 14, verse 17. Thou knowest him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. 18. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come unto you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But you see me, because I live, you shall live also. 20. At that day you shall know me, know that I am in the Father, and that you in me, and I in you. 21. Want to go? He that hath passed my commandment and keepeth them, it is that loveth me. He that loveth me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. 23. Want to go? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come and make our words abode with him. Amen. Amen. Now, please write this down. To be in the Father's house is same as the Father abiding with you. Don't forget what Jesus said to you. He said, don't you believe that I'm in the Father and the Father is also in me. So to be in the Father's house means the Father too will be in you. Amen. Say, I'm in the Father and the Father is in me. I love the way this sounds in Yoruba. It says like, we will come and say, anybody that loves me, we will come and abode. How do I usually put it in Yoruba? Awa shilet here. Amen. Let me have shilet. Somebody come and shilet. Oh God. Let me know of that. Somebody come and shilet here. You will, like God said, anyone that if you listen to this, I will carry me, Son, Holy Ghost, all of us, we pack our load, our shillet here. Amen. Praise God. You know, the easiest example I know to give for that one is, it's not a good example anyway, is if a young man mistakenly gets a lady pregnant, and he says, sir, don't worry, I only live in a one bedroom. He said, don't worry, we are coming to what? Shillet here. Amen. Both the lady, your mother, you will divide that one bedroom into, so that you can learn your lesson. Amen. So when you come and shillet here. Amen. Say, God has shilleted me. Amen. Say, God is abiding with me. Abiding. Huh? Okay. Amen. Amen. Don't worry. We have our own grammar. So to be in the Father's house is the same as the Father abiding with you. Actually, write abode in my notes. So it's nothing to be ashamed about. So it's the same. It's the same as receiving the Holy Ghost. Amen. To abide in the Father's house, to be in the Father's house, is the same as receiving the Holy Ghost. How do you receive the essence of the Trinity? How do you receive the essence of the Godhead? Somebody asked me, why are you saying, do we still have Trinity? I said, of course. Why do we have Trinity? Just the way you explain it that differs. So we have Trinity only in the redemptive plan of God for man. There is no Trinity before man. Amen. Amen. No Trinity before man. Trinity came because of man. Amen. We'll see that later. See our Jesus. I'm procrastinating all this while. Okay, so verse 24. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my saying, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. 26. One, two, go. Yes, let's read. But the Comforter, who is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you what? All things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. So, who is the man that can do greater works? The man with the Holy Ghost. Who is the man with John 4? Who is the man to whom John 14, 12 is written that will do greater works? The man that the Father is abiding with. The man that God has shielded. Amen. The man with the essence of God. The man in the Father's house. The man who is in the Father and the Father is in him. The man with the Holy Ghost. Who is the man with the Holy Ghost? The saved man. The man that has believed in the words, death, burial, and resurrection of God for sins. So if you're not writing sins, please write this down. Salvation is the ultimate call of God to ministry. So therefore, salvation is the ultimate call of God. Somebody is saying, as God has not called me. Brother, the same day you received the Spirit, the same day you became born again, you received the words, the call of God. Say, I've been called.
Okay, maybe this that is not driving the point home yet. Ask your neighbor, say, are you saved? Ask somebody, I bought you, I say, brother, are you saved? He said, that means you have a call. Ask him, have you received the call? Don't allow him to threaten you. Say, have you received the call? Receive the answer, receive the answer. Receive the answer. Anyone that is not doing membership training, Tola has not received the call. Amen. Amen. So there is difference between God calling you and you saying yes. God called all of us as salvation. Somebody say, well, but me, there was a time I saw a vision like Brother Joshua. God appeared to me like a rabbit. And he said, quack, 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 bro. I've called you right now. When you lift up your hands like this, fire will be on the right hand. Brimstone will be on the left. Okay, cloud will be at the center. As you move, five angels will be at your back. 50 escort will be in the front. As you move, as you take one step, they will clear one Abba. Amen. Praise God. You saw the vision because you have been rejecting the call of God. All this why, brethren? Why do you have to see that spectacular vision? You have been saying no. So that is just that is like God prostrating that, please, I beg you, I have called you. Amen. Any man that is rightly taught will do ministry without seeing a rabbit in a dream. Without seeing an old man appearing with white beards, long flowing gown. Amen. You should see Jesus. He said, my son. And unfortunately for some people, God will still call you son of man. Ah, you are a son of man. You are Ezekiel. You see, you use Old Testament terminology. He's son of man. Say, take this rod. You have to take the rod. Anytime you want to preach, just wave the rod. Rod. Amen. Say, I've got the Holy Ghost. Say, I've got no rod. Hallelujah. No rod of Moses here. Amen. We've got the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So, no man gets born again without the essence of ministry. No man gets born again and has not received ministry. Because no man gets born again without the Holy Ghost. So let us see a portion, Acts 19. Then we close not this service, this section. Acts 19, verse 1. Amen. So Acts 19, verse 1. It came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have you received... Now, pay attention. I want to explain this to you carefully. Say, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Normally, if you want to interpret that literally, that means he's saying, have you believed since you have believed? Because any man that believes does what? Receives the Holy Ghost. So why should he be saying, have you received the Holy Ghost since you have believed? Let's write this down. Paul was implying, because I checked the Greek syntax, I cannot really reconstruct that place. So I will say Paul was implying that have you received of the Holy Ghost? Put off there. Have you received of the Holy Ghost? Same way the disciples, they received the Holy Ghost in Mark 16. They received the Holy Ghost in Luke 24 when they believed the gospel, when they said yes to the gospel to redemption, when they said yes to the death, burial, and resurrection. Bible says in Mark 16, verse 14, it says he reproved them of their unbelief and hardness of heart because they have not believed those who have seen him. But when they now believe, now tell them, say, go ye forth into the world. In John 20, Bible says, even Thomas, when he saw him, it will believe. Amen. Anyone that has believed, what does he do? Anyone that believes in the resurrected Jesus, no protocol. He received the word, the Holy Ghost. Amen. No waiting. Because it's not that, like I've told you, it's not that as Jesus is going to heaven, you will not tell the Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, what are you doing here since? Oh yeah, go, John. No. As he was with them, the Holy Ghost was already with them. You remember in John 14, he said, he's with you, but he shall be in you. So, even when Jesus was preaching, the Holy Ghost is already on earth. The Holy Ghost, he has been sent. He was there
from Genesis 4. He was there in Genesis 6. My spirit shall not always strive with man. His death shall be wanting. That was the Holy Ghost. He's there. He's there in John, in Genesis 12. He brought the message to Abraham. He has been there all this while. So the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, he has been there. David fellowship with the Spirit, but he didn't have the Spirit in him. But they have the Spirit upon. So what happened in essentially when Jesus now died, immediately Jesus came out of the grave. You remember Matthew chapter 27, he said, even the graves were open, and the body of the saints which died was, they arose. Amen. Those bodies, they didn't wait for Pentecost to come out of hell, to come out of Abraham's bosom, to enter heaven. No. As soon as Jesus is out of hell, legally man is what? Able to receive the Spirit. Praise God. You hear me? Okay. So, I'm not saying, same way the disciples, they received the Holy Ghost in the gospel, but they now receive of the Holy Ghost in Acts 2. You got a difference? Got a difference? They received the Spirit when? Mark 16. They received the, Matthew 28, or when Jesus was around. But now they now received what? Of the Holy Ghost in Acts 2. In Acts 2. So, ministry for the 120 began at Pentecost. Because that is when they receive of the Holy Ghost. Ministry is when you start receiving of the Holy Ghost. Say of the Holy Ghost. Say of the Holy Ghost. Come on. Say I have received of the Holy Ghost. So, like I love to say, for all of them, for those 120, salvation must have occurred between when? Between resurrection and Acts 2, somewhere between. Because see, salvation is about individual's response, individual's persuasion. So you cannot, it can be difficult to date a man's salvation. I can tell you, if we analyze your life carefully, the day you thought you are even saved, that may not be the day. Amen. A lot of people come out for altar call and they are not saved. So a lot of us, we came up for altar call to just receive zeal. The zeal that we just watered, and after give them a few weeks, what will happen? It will go down. So it is the day you say, Jesus, you didn't die for yourself, you died for me. Amen. The day that you really receive it, you can say it, you can even sing it without receiving it. Hope you know. Praise God. That is why more than confessing the Bible, by inspiring the book of Gospel of John, salvation is attached to believing. And Romans says, if you believe in your heart, you will only confess with your mouth what you have what believed in your heart. So I go back to Mark 19 right now. Verse 3. How are you there? 19:3. So he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? So what was the answer? We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. Amen. Although I didn't plan to explain that one clearly today, but with what I have explained to you right now, do you know it's possible for these people to be saved and they have never heard anything about taking of the Holy Ghost for ministry? Like I said, it's possible. You understand? But the issue is now the next word. What's the next of Asterix? And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, what? Unto John. Can John save anybody? No. Can water baptism save? No. Can the preaching of John save? No. The preaching of John is that what? God anointed Jesus. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. But that is not what saves a man. That is what takes, that is not what qualifies a man for heaven, for the supernatural ministry. What makes a man born again is Jesus has not only come, he has died, and he has died for me. So that one is not the preaching of John. That one is beyond John. Say beyond John. So John was like the final last prophet in the prophetic era, in the Old Testament era. Oh, verse 4, verse 1, meaning Old Testament prophetic. Are you in verse 4, brethren? Are you in verse 4? Come on, look at your Bible. Okay, then said Paul, John verily did what? Baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him. That is on who? Christ Jesus. Verse 5. When they heard this, they were what? They were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. So what does that baptism mean? They became saved. That is not, it's not saying as they had, so the one supernatural water just poured on their head from heaven and they became baptized in water. No, as they had that, they became what? Baptized into Christ. That will be salvation. Verse 6. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, can you see? And when Paul had laid his hands on them, what happened? The Holy Ghost came. What happened in verse 5? The Holy Ghost came in them. Look at the Bible. In verse 5, what happened? The Holy Ghost came inside them. It is when you don't assure a believer that the Spirit is in him. That is why we have difficulty with tongues. You must first stress that point. You have got the Holy Ghost. So in verse 5, the Holy Ghost came inside. Verse 6, Paul now laid his hands and the Holy Ghost came where? Upon. Say upon. On them. And they began, they spake with tongues and what? They prophesied. So what happened here? Power came from outside. Power came from without. Power came from outside. And they took power from outside. They spoke in tongues. So this is my question today. So you can see in that place. See, in Acts 2, where did they pick up power from? They pick up power themselves. Because having received the Spirit, you can of yourself pick the power of the Spirit. But in Acts 19, what happened? Power came from without, and like I've taught you inside the things of the Spirit, that would be meaning Paul ministered to them by the Spirit of faith, by the gift of faith, right? So the tongues that is already theirs, what happened? They were able to what? Wow, brought it out. So can believers still be told to be filled with the Spirit? That's my question now. Can we still tell believers to be filled? In fact, I could have even said to you that it's not wrong to tell believers to receive the Holy Ghost. Amen? But because of the danger of misinterpretation, it is better to tell believers, receive of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Praise God. Also because the epistle never used that term. So when we say be filled, we mean receive power again from within. Say, I can receive power from within. Say, I am self-anointed. Mm-hmm. You are self-anointed. Like anytime you think you have a tax, they brought a sick man is before you, or you have people to preach to, you don't, Jesus. How do I say it? I want to say, you don't need God's help. Why? God's help is in you. You don't have to say, Emimi Montuno Reda, eh? Oh yeah, Emimi Montuno Minda, eh? Baba Ogun Ayele. Oh. You don't have to, you have to say, you have to give people English version. You don't have to say, come down, Holy Spirit, come down. We are waiting for you, come down. Don't wait for him. I'm serious. You don't have to, Babawa Beshe, all those words, it looks good, like, God, come and manifest your power. Holy Ghost, come and manifest your power. Don't pray such prayers. Father, in this service, come and manifest. No, Father, in this service, we will manifest your power. Amen. That is the beauty of redemption. Imagine you have a baby, you took her to the best schools, Pastor Ezekiel taught him, collected your big money from the parents, taught him physics, taught him everything. And the baby wants to write exam. He said, don't worry, my daddy is coming to write my paper for me. What's that? The father has done his part. Amen. Say the father has done his part. He gave me the Holy Ghost. Say right now, for any assignment, I can anoint myself. I can anoint myself for duty. I am self-anointed. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So, we can tell believers to be filled. It means to receive power again from within. How? You act on the word. You act on the word that says the Spirit of God is in you. You act on the word. How can I be filled? How should I be filled with the Spirit? You act on the word and you speak. You act on the word and you rejoice. You act on the word and you sing. Those are stuff that people feel do. These are what few men do. But you have got to act on the word. No fear, just desire. Be at the right things. Desire. How do I anoint myself for assignment? Desire. Be at the right place. See how people do it. Desire. Say desire. Let me say this clearly. This may not sound too doctrinal. Actually, you know, for a long time, until I've taught this, I was restricted from laying hands in this church. Like personally, anytime I just want to lay hands on somebody, he will say no. Because we must outgrow some levels. Amen. There are things that we do in more evangelistic meetings. People who are not well taught. That is why even in this place, actually, it's only the pastor or whoever the pastor appoints that lay hands. When I tell you to hold people's hands together, I'm saying hold hands. I didn't say put hands on anybody's head. Amen. Hold hands and minister. You should be able to help somebody to just bring out what is in him. Don't force it. Amen. So we can control your operation. You understand what I'm saying? You hold somebody. The guy is not receiving utterance. He's receiving power. You're on the fall down. What do you do? Limit it. Tell him, okay, calm down. I love it. Isn't it all right? During evangelism one day, he laid out on a lady. She fell down, roll. She just waiting like this. So when you're done, let me know. Say the Holy Ghost does not torment people. I said you speak in tongues, you are rolling. What's all this? I said, you know, Ebona. I told you to speak in tongues, you are rolling on ground. Say, what's all this? She just said, I'm waiting for you. Amen, amen. Praise God. We must grow believers beyond all this. Come and give me. Pastor, just. Come on. Amen. Say, I am self-anointed. Say, I can bring it out. Say, I'm self-anointed. So, believers without not... So, I wrote in my notes, I said, who should really need external power to be filled? Well, it should be more of believers without knowledge. More of. Please, I'm not saying your pastor cannot preach, cannot minister to you. I'm not saying somebody cannot minister to you by the Spirit. But it cannot be every time. It should be more. Do you know there are some people that they cannot speak in tongues unless they lay hands on them? When you lay hands on them, they will speak. Until you lay hands again, they will not speak. What's that? Amen. Believers that are far from the truth of God's word. See, brethren, you got saved by speaking. When you are filled to, you speak. How do I get filled with the Holy Ghost? How do I pick up the Holy Ghost? You speak. You can speak, then laugh, then speak again. See, as we speak, the gift of the Spirit gets it. You lose it. You lose the gift of the Spirit as you speak. As you speak. Say no, man. The power that ought to be here is not here today. Amen. Maybe it was Gerard that is the power. She's not here. Say, no man. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, the awareness from the word or from impartation can lead to activities. When you become more aware by the word or by impartation, it will lead to activities that will further increase your boldness. Then from the boldness, that will further outpour out more of the gift of the Spirit. Awareness from the word or impartation will lead to activities. So that means as you become aware of the word, it's that you are speaking, right? You are loving. You are rejoicing. That thing you are doing, it will now lead you into more boldness. And from the boldness, what will happen? The gift of the Spirit will lose up. So what do you do initially? You act on the word. As you act on the word, what do? You do things that few people do. You speak, hallelujah. You give utterance. You rejoice. You laugh. But as you are doing all that, what will bounce on you more? Boldness. Amen. Amen. And from the boldness, what will you do? Gift of the Spirit. Praise God. Have you not observed can you take ministers? You first go laugh at everybody, go up and down, laugh. Then when you now start calling out cases, praise God. Say, I know how to do it. Say, I'm self-anointed. So that dwells at pouring, it has not stopped. It's for ministry. It's for ministry. Please, singing as a way of getting itself into the minds of men easily. Singing as a way of easily communicating things to men. You can be singing and the healing power will get loosened up over people. Singing. As we sing. Get used to this. Expect it in your singing. As you sing, the healing power can be loosened up. Lastly, write this down. Also in Acts 2, they spoke for 3 hours. They spoke in tongues for like 3 hours. 3 hours in tongues. Men, brethren, that's not fun. So, we must not be in a hurry in getting men filled. We must not be in a hurry. We must not just hear the tongues and you leave them after 5 minutes. No. They spoke for 3 hours, brethren. Wow. No wonder when they are done. How many people became saved? 3,000. They spoke for 3 hours. Don't be in a hurry. Spend quality time with people. Allow them to practice. Allow them to participate. Spend quality time. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Is there anybody filled with the Holy Ghost in the house today? Hallelujah. Is anybody ready to act on the word? Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Anyone filled with the Holy Ghost here? Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. There are things that few people do, and we have 5 minutes to do that. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. No man filled with the Holy Ghost keeps quiet. Amen. Oh, glory. When you are filled with the Holy Ghost, you will not speak too much tongues, though. Amen. Ha, ha, ha. Hallelujah. Even if it will be tongues, it may mostly be just singing tongues. You know, you understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Matari seva to tastavali. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Feel people. Come on, respond. Feel people. Self-anointed. Once you are not ashamed of speaking, boldness will not be far from you. Amen. Most of the time when we speak, we speak first, then boldness come. We laugh first, then boldness come. Amen. We rejoice first, then boldness come for more. We are filled speaking. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Come on, you should be doing something. I am waiting for you. Filled people do something. Some rejoice. Some shout. Some laugh. But anything they do boldly. And fortunately for you, right now your pastor is allowing you. Amen. So, Brian, be filled with the Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, I'm waiting for you. You are slow, amen. I guess you need under 20 hours, right? Filled people, come and respond to God. Hallelujah. Be filled. Oh, be filled. Filled people. Filled people are not shy, amen. They are not shy of who they are. Thank you, Lord Jesus. If you can't practice the church, you won't be able to do it outside though, amen. I tell you the truth. And this is for every day, amen. It's for everywhere, amen. It's not just for church. Feel people laugh, amen. Feel people, they sing out loud, amen. Feel people shout, amen. Feel people rejoice, amen. Amen. Can't he lose at it? Feel people. 3 more minutes. Come and be filled with the Holy Ghost.
Come on, be filled with the Holy Ghost. Come on, brethren, come on, be filled. Come on, be filled. Come on, be filled. Come on, be filled with the Holy Ghost.
I can be quiet. Just focus on what you are doing. Be filled. Simple. Don't be motivated by my words. Be filled.
Don't wait for impartation. Be filled. When you are filled at the end of the day, you have a word for somebody. When you are filled at the end of the day, you have healing for somebody. You have counsel for somebody. You have an interpretation of tongue for somebody. So you're being filled, we end in ministry, amen. Come on, brethren, be filled, be filled, be filled. You start by speaking. You continue by speaking. Filled people. Filled people. Filled people. Filled people. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Filled people. Oh, we are filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, we are filled to the overflow. Filled people, come and respond to God. Filled people, respond to God. We respond to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Yele malamoste vatika. Rani masi volimate. Limatikeli zovila rosate. Being filled is a sequence. It starts somewhere, it ends in ministry. So it ends in talking to somebody. You have just 2 more minutes to do that. It ends in talking to somebody. It ends in edifying somebody. Filled people. It ends in blessing somebody. Filled people. Filled people. Filled people. Filled people. Filled people. Come on. Come on. Few people, unless you didn't speak with boldness, words will come to you for somebody. Miracles will come to you for somebody. You've got healings for somebody. You've got visions for somebody. Amen, amen, amen. Come on. You are self-anointed. You are self-anointed. You are self-anointed. You are self-anointed. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We remind ourselves, as you remind yourself that I've got the essence of the Spirit of God, as you remind yourself that, whoa, the Holy Ghost is in me. Then you pick off the Holy Ghost. And you pick him for ministry. You pick up the Holy Ghost. You speak. You shout. You laugh. You rejoice. More boldness will come. Then utterance will follow. That's the sequence. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Then you see somebody sick, you go to him. That I'm sent from God, healing you right now. Brethren, we respond to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Ola bosta fatike rizekete latita katosta bakata. Yate kotate kolema zafate rozafato kasto katate te to. Minte tekama. Minte takamata sadite tite maza. Sititi zematate zapote korastata kalize kalorazatate. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Ananamara sovati. Oh, glory, glory. Glory to God. 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 Yeah. Yeah, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. La costa, vola ste, vila ste, vitora sta, capto la costa dada. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, glory, glory. Thank you. Okay, fine. Take 5 minutes to greet somebody. Accept.